The role of the prosecution advocate in cases involving vulnerable witnesses. My name's Rosina Cottage, Queen's Counsel, and I prosecute regularly in serious cases involving vulnerable witnesses. And so my aim is to give a brief outline and helpful tips for what to look for and how best to manage a prosecution case involving a vulnerable witness. It goes without saying that if there is more than one involved in your case, the same stages of preparation and consideration must be given to each witness separately. One size definitely does not fit all. The provisions of the Youth Justice and Criminal Evidence Act 1999 underpin all the policy and guidance and tools. You must be familiar with the relevant sections in the Act, which are extensive. Not all are in force, and there are pilots in certain areas for pre-recorded cross-examination. Know what is relevant and applies in your case and your court. The criminal procedure rules, the criminal practice directions of October 2013, and the Equal Treatment Benchbook chapter on children and vulnerable adults are also required reading. The first place to start as the prosecution advocate is to be aware of what your duties are to the court, the Crown Prosecution Service, and the vulnerable witness. The Code for Crown Prosecutors is, of course, the bedrock for assessment of evidential sufficiency and public interest. Remember, prosecutors must be fair, independent and objective, and must always act in the interests of justice. There are CPS policy documents that are relevant and necessary to read, which are the casework quality standards and the code of practice for the victims of crime. There's also helpful guidance on the range of special measures available and particular considerations in respect of sexual offences, which can easily be accessed from the CPS website. There is also guidance from the Bar Council on the use of special measures, again, easy to find on the internet and download. Finally, there is, of course, the Advocate's Gateway, found through the Advocacy Training Council website, which is the most vital resource for an advocate conducting a trial involving vulnerable witnesses. The toolkits and checklists take you through each area of concern or difficulty and give practical assistance, example questions, in essence, the do's and don'ts. Even those experienced in cases involving any number of complications with evidence from vulnerable witnesses find the guidance given of enormous help, including me. The practicalities. Whatever stage you receive your brief to prosecute a case involving a vulnerable witness, don't take for granted that whatever application for special measures that has been made is correct. Even if it was correct at the time of application, circumstances can change. So you must consider your choice of special measures. The views of the witness will be central to the decision. The age and vulnerability of the witness and the quality of the video recorded interview in terms of both technical quality and content will also be important. That means that you must watch the recording. Sometimes the sound is very poor, but before rejecting the recording completely, consider whether the audio can be enhanced or whether editing of parts may deal with the problem. If the content is lacking, a decision will then have to be taken as to whether to make another recording or to prepare a witness statement to call the evidence in chief. Whatever the final decision made, your presentation of the case must take into account the witness's vulnerability and their views. When obtaining the views of the witness, it is essential that you are satisfied that those views are based on proper information. There are still times when you speak to the officer in the case and find that the witness has been given little or no information upon which to understand the choices that can be made. So speak with the investigating officer to ensure that the witness is made aware of all of the special measures that are available and their respective advantages and disadvantages. For example, facilities for live link between court centres and offices, Skype from the home of the witness. There are many possibilities which can be considered and may be suitable depending on the circumstances. Often child witnesses and others are afraid of being seen by the defendant over the live link. When seeking the witness's views on the use of special measures, you must be sure that they understand that the defendant will be able to see them on the court monitor. It may be that the use of screens is in fact more appropriate. It may be that the screen in the courtroom can be partially covered to prevent the defendant from seeing the witness. In cases where there are complex needs, you will need to gather information regarding the capacity and requirements of the witness, provided typically by carers, social workers, and medical staff. This should include information on cognitive and linguistic ability, range of behaviours, and emotional state. It may be that the witness has not been fully assessed previously, and you require a report from a psychologist to inform any decision to apply for special measures, and, in particular, may indicate that the use of an intermediary under Section 29 of the Youth Justice and Criminal Evidence Act 1999 at court may be appropriate, where they are available. It is suggested that the advocate meets the witness at a special measures meeting at the earliest opportunity. Now, that is not always possible or even practical. That is why the advocate must fully participate in the decision-making in relation to special measures by asking for information and reviewing decisions. Otherwise, any special measures will have been decided merely on the initial assessment by the police. I move to consider the instruction of an intermediary and use of the report. An intermediary may be instructed either by the police or the CPS. It depends on when the decision is taken to instruct. There's a matching service under the governance of the National Crime Agency. The Registered Intermediary Procedural Guidance Manual of 2012 sets out the detail, but the Advocate's Gateway has set out the practical and helpful steps to consider. Whoever is matched to the case, it is still necessary for you to check that the qualifications that the intermediary has are right for the communication needs of the particular witness. There may have been an intermediary at the original interview that may not be suitable for whatever reason for the trial. The witness and their ability to communicate is key, and if there must be a change of intermediary, the sooner that is dealt with, the better. The intermediary will prepare a report. This will help you set out what will need to be covered at the ground rules hearing and the plans to assist the witness in communicating their evidence. There may be any number of helpful, practical suggestions on timetabling and how best the witness may refresh their memory and when. Not all suggestions will work, and flexibility is the key. They are likely to give a very clear idea of how the advocate should phrase questions. This must be taken in the spirit it is intended, as assistance. It is not criticism. If there's to be any argument about the use of the intermediary or the extent of their use, the earlier this argument is conducted, the better. It must be remembered that the intermediary is not a witness to be cross-examined. They will attend to explain the report and its recommendations, but this process is not adversarial. The argument itself is based on submissions and the evidence in the case. It is important to remember, counsel should only raise such grounds in opposition as are properly arguable and not pursue a hidden agenda simply to deprive the witness of the opportunity of giving evidence effectively. And that's from the Bar Council's Special Measures Guidance. Pre-trial meetings with witnesses. The witness is entitled to have a pre-trial court familiarisation visit, and at the trial the advocate must, where circumstances permit, introduce themselves to complainants and witnesses, answer any questions they have on the court process, and where possible indicate how long the complainants, the witnesses, may have to wait before giving evidence. Wherever possible, explain any delay in proceedings and tell the witnesses how long the wait is likely to be. The court familiarisation visit. The court familiarisation visit is of enormous assistance to the witness and those presenting the case. The intermediary will attend the visit and speak with the witness service. Usually, the SOWIT officer will also attend. If it's possible for you, the advocate, to attend this visit, it can be immensely reassuring to the witness and also very helpful for you. It helps to confirm the areas for discussion at a ground rules hearing, which is yet to happen, and if one has already taken place, an application for another hearing to develop the directions originally sought or to change them. The approach to the ground rules hearing. Toolkit 1 in the Advocate's Gateway is about ground rules hearings and sets out checklists so that if you follow what is suggested, you cannot go wrong. As you are the prosecutor, you should set the agenda. It is sensible to draft an agenda with a list of issues to cover and directions sought. That way, nothing is missed that could cause difficulties later. Make sure you involve the intermediary where there is discussion as to the best approach in relation to a specific topic. If the advocates need to reduce questions to writing, seek a direction that this is done. If there are questions that may not be asked, agree what they should be. It may be that there are cases where it would not be possible for the defendant's case to be put in any material way. In those circumstances, an agreement can be reached as to how the defendant's case can be put before the jury in a neutral way. Where there is more than one defendant, there may need to be allocation among them of the topics about which a witness may be asked. I turn to drafting and preparing questions using the adjusted style of advocacy expected. Each toolkit contains the following statement. Questioning that contravenes principles for obtaining accurate information from a witness by exploiting his or her developmental limitations is not conducive to a fair trial and would contravene the codes of conduct. In some instances, there is still reluctance among the judiciary and defence counsel to work within these rules. However, there is case law that supports all of the limitations that I have mentioned and others. Do keep up to date with case law. There is a clear line of authority from the case of Barker, the Crown Against B, 2010, EWCA Crim 4, to the recently decided Crown Against Sandor Jonas, 2015, EWCA Crim 562, which supports the contention that it is the advocates who must adapt to the witness, not the other way around. And that's taken from the Crown Against Coxis Lubemba, Crown Against JP, 2014, EWCA Crim 2064. The role of the prosecution advocate, where there are questions to be agreed in advance, is to use your experience in order to assist proper and effective cross-examination of the witness. It is your duty to make sure that the intermediary has an opportunity to consider the questions and offer a view, sometimes even redraft. There are often circumstances where the prosecution advocate actively cooperates in redrafting or adapting the questions sought to be asked. It is a change in approach, which requires you to remember that you are not only a prosecutor, but that you are an officer of the court. Toolkits 3 to 8 contain examples from trial transcript questions, with suggestions about how they might be improved. Highlight examples of good practice and poor practice, and list of references, contributors, and reviewers. They are of great assistance, and they are there to be used. There are a number of different ways of enabling the defence to put the defendant's case before the jury without traditional cross-examination, and what would work best can be agreed on a case-by-case basis. Directions will be given by the judge as to the limitations that have been ordered in the case and why, and the jury can be told by the judge or by defence counsel of the nature of the questions that the defence would have sought to put to the witness. There can be a document agreed and given to the jury of all inconsistencies or background evidence to assist them. The methods of conducting trials with vulnerable witnesses are evolving over time. Key to effective prosecution of offences in cases involving vulnerable witnesses is careful preparation and a pragmatic approach to working with all parties to ensure a fair trial for all those involved.